Now, brethren, we're looking forward to a rich blessing with the service of our brother Paul Mazera from the little class in Janesville, Wisconsin. So we're looking forward to a blessing. He's chosen as his subject, Wheels Within Wheels, Part 1. Brother Paul.
Thank you, Brother George. Good morning, brethren. Before we start, I have a load of love to bring you from the class. I had to get this from the class over the telephone because most of the brethren were sick last week and we had to cancel our meeting. Some sort of a virus was going around, and I was even to the point where I couldn't talk, but luckily that's cleared up by now. So the subject we're going to have here today is going to be on chronology. And this is something that some of the brethren here have seen some of this. I've been working on this for quite some time and had some problems with how the best way to describe it. I've tried different ways of presenting it, printing it out, but some brethren suggested that a PowerPoint might be the best way to do this, and I didn't have any experience with PowerPoints before, but I'd been thinking about it, and it was kind of a strange situation because I'd was sitting there one evening and decided, well, I really should probably get started on this. And I didn't actually do it yet, but guess what? The next morning the phone rang and Brother Irwin is calling me saying that they had an opening for me to come here. So I thought, well, this is a good opportunity. Now, this information that we're going to have here today, I think, is going to be faith-building, and it's also going to prove our second volume, Chronology, and also Divine Plan. One of the reasons why we really want to give this is because we've had concern over some alternate chronology that has convinced some brethren that maybe there's something else out there that's correct. And I think that if this presentation goes away like it to today, I think I should be able to convince you that our original chronology is correct. There was actually two different books as time has gone on as I've worked on this. Book one is going to be Chronology Patterns, which confirmed the second volume chronology, and that's what we're going to be looking at mainly today. And that's the most critical part, is those patterns. There's also Cherubs, Living Ones, and Seraphim that we hope to be able to show you in those patterns if you shade it in properly. Now, it's not going to be like if you took a photograph of it or if it landed out here in the street, but we think that we're going to show you something that matches as far as the types of features and the correct number. Book two, which we're not going to really go into today, and we're actually still somewhat working on, is a detailed, started out as a detailed timeline, and has a complete layout of the 450 years of Judges year by year, and I tried to do it where you could see where every judge was at exactly, and the reasons why I chose, and I put down all the scriptures as to why I chose the places where I put them. And the one that was really difficult was the 513 years of kings in order to harmonize between the 10-tribe nation and the 2-tribe nation. And we considered the 2-tribe nation to be the gold standard. In other words, that's the one that we felt was correct, as that's the one that's used in the second volume. And we have it down now where I think that we can pretty much explain, harmonize pretty much the whole 10 tribes with the 2 tribes. There's like 3 or 4 places where there may be one place 2 years, and I think there's a couple places 3 or 4 years where you have to assume like a co-regency or something like that. And then, and actually in those places there's a good reason for it to be there. But that's what we're not going to talk about that today, and that would probably be something that would take quite a while to get ready for because it would be a long, lots of detailed information. Both books confirm all our end time dates, and there's much more in that second book which we've worked on. For example, we went back and looked at how many of those Sabbath years were missed, and we've determined, for example, that there was actually 71 Sabbath years that were not kept during the period of kings. And one of those was actually partially kept just prior to the time Babylon came. But then they reneged on it at the last minute. And so there's your 70 years that had to be made up for when they were taken out of the land. Now, book one, which is the one we're going to talk about today, is going to be proving our 1845-year chronology. And that's what I'm going to call a judgment pattern. And then there's going to be a 1260-25-20 pattern. And that's the dominion pattern, or who has the right to rule. And the third one is going to be a 2500 or restitution pattern, which is actually the Jubilees, 50 times 50. And that's actually related to the 25-inch cubit. We won't have much time to go into that. We'll give a little bit of examples of how that has some applications in other areas of the Bible, but our time is not going to allow us to do that. A couple of things we're going to have to determine ahead of time here to kind of help, and we use the decimal format for these dates, and we'll give you some examples. So you'll see, like, for example, 1873.75, that's actually October 1874, and I'll have a page here in a minute. But the reason why we did that, we wanted to show that the chronology is exact, that they're, you know, it's not approximate, not rounded off, but it's actually exact. And the other advantage to doing that, once you put the dates into the correct decimal format, you can actually go back and forth across the AD to BC date without making an adjustment. You don't have any problem, as some do, where they pick up an extra year going across because you're actually using the exact numbers. And these are the examples we're talking about. I'll explain the 32.25, and the rest of them will kind of be similar, so we won't explain them fully. But what we're talking about here is it went 32 years past the zero point, which is the BC AD time, and then you go 0.25 into the year 33. So you go on January, February, March, and then, of course, just a few, I think it's, what, April 5th or 6th of the beginning of that month. And the 1874 date's the same way, except you go 0.75 years through the 1874 date and so on. So if you see these on the patterns, don't worry about it, because that's exactly the correct dates. And the BC is the same, excepting we're counting backwards. So, for example, the 606.25, you've gone 606 years from the zero point backwards into the BC time, and then you go 0.25 into the 607, but excepting this time, you're going December, November, October. And the exact date, as we put on the bottom line here, is actually probably about September 26th or so. And one of the key dates, the midst of the year's date, is at 626.25 BC, and that's October of 627. And that's going to be a date that we're going to see with all of the patterns. Notice we said zero point. There is no such thing as a zero year. So as you go across that zero point, you really don't pick up any time at all. So from 1 BC to the zero point is 1 year, and from the zero point to 1 AD is 1 year. But since the zero point don't add any time at all, from 1 BC to 1 AD is actually only a total count of 2 years, not three, as some sometimes make that mistake. Well, I'm going to get a laser pointer out, because some of this stuff I want to be able to point to, which may help when we get to it. We're trying to make this as simple as possible, but there are a few things that are a little bit, look a little complicated, but they're really not. Some of the dates that are really important to our understanding of end time prophecy are 1874, 1878, and 1914. And those are what we consider to be extremely key dates. And we'll go through them one by one, mainly because we know that most of you here know this, but if I know they're taping this, if someone happens to watch this tape that's not real familiar with it, we recommend that you read the studies in the scriptures to get a complete understanding of what these dates are. We'll just give a brief outline today for that reason, though. 1874 is the end of 6,000 years since the fall in the garden, and since that's the beginning of the seventh 1,000-year day, we believe that's the Lord's second presence. It's also the beginning of the 40-year harvest, and because it's that harvest time, it's also the call to come out of Great Babylon, my people. And the Jubilee of the year also points to 1874 as the times of restitution beginning then. And then what that's saying is that by the end of that 1,000-year period in 2874, all mankind will be restored back to the perfection that they had in the garden and be ready to stand trial again. The 1845-year parallel is ended in 1878, and that's from Jacob's death to the death of Christ, and from the death of Christ to 1878 is another judgment again. So just as the Jewish house had a judgment back in the time of Christ, the nominal churches on this end of the age are also under judgment again since that time. 1914 was the end of the 2,520 years, and it was also the fall of all the kings in that war that opened up the way for Israel to come back to their homeland. And it was the beginning of the shattering of that image of Daniel, and a process of crushing and grinding that we believe will lead to that whirlwind that's spoken of in Daniel chapter 2. And those pieces of what's left of this worldly kingdoms are eventually be swept away in the kingdom of God, or that mountain will fill the whole earth at that time. Now, we're going to just give a real simple version of the parallel that's found in volume 2, page 201, and it's in a chapter Parallel Dispensations. And one piece of information that we added extra here is, which we thought was interesting, and we just put it in for that reason to begin with, is that from the flood to October of 29 A.D., when our Lord was immersed in the River Jordan and baptized, it was actually 2,500 years exactly. And 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 does talk about that flood as being a type of our Christian baptism. So we kind of were looking at the other side of the parallel here, and we realized that the Jubilee runs out in 1874. And there's two different numbers that we normally have for that. We have the 2499 plus 1, which is 2500. And that extra 1 year represents the total 1,000 years to the 2874 date when all mankind will be restored. But later on, we're also going to show you another 2,500-year period in that actually goes from the midpoint right to the 1874 date, which is related to this, which is something that is a little bit extra, but it adds to it, we believe. So anyway, Jesus, at the beginning of the October 29, began the harvest in his first presence. And on October 1874, again, the harvest time in the second presence. And the 1845 ended in 33, and judgment was pronounced on the Jewish house. And the house is left unto them desolate. And that scripture is Matthew chapter 23, verses 29 to 39. And there it tells us that they were to be punished for the death of all the prophets. On this end of the age, the 1845 year ends, and the judgment began on the nominal house, same as it had on a Jewish house back there. And again, their house is left unto them desolate, and they're to be punished for the death of all the saints during the gospel age. But this is not saying that no individuals can come out, just as the Jewish people could come into the church back there. But the Lord was not working with that system. The same thing is true here. We still call to them to come out to the truth and to the church so that the church can be completed. Now, there's a 40-year period. There's two ways you could look at it to get to 40 years, from 2875 to 6875. And, of course, the same thing is true here, October 1874 to 1914. And from 33 to 73, and from 1878 to 1918. I'm not sure exactly which we should be looking at, and it may actually be both because of the overlap there, that there was a special period there that it seems that the harvest was allowed to go on to allow the church members to that were in that system to get out. And on the parallel, back in the that's 69 A.D., the Romans came and they set up siege on the city, but then they backed off and came back in 70, and the city was and the temple both were wiped out at that time. On the other side, in October 1914, the seven times of the 2520 ended, and World War I began almost exactly on this date. It was about a month and a half at the most. And one interesting thing that we found in the history books on that is that many of the ruling class volunteered, and by the next year, most of them had died in that war. And so the historians tell us that because of that, the old world order was not able to come back because of the ruling class being gone. Many of the common people really weren't that keen on that system because it didn't do that much for them. And in 73, the Jewish house was finished at the Masada. The last of the resistance ended there. And at that point in time, they really were not allowed to reestablish the nation anymore because the Romans felt that they were troublesome. And so they were kept from the land all the way up until this time here in 1918. Towards the end of that war, the last of the kings were removed from their throne, and during that time period they had the Balfour Declaration that opened up the way for the Jews to own land in Israel, and the Ottoman Empire collapsed, which was also a big obstacle because they had originally had control over the Palestine at that time. But what happened was then it went to the Great Britain, and Great Britain allowed the Jews to those who wanted to start buying land. A key scripture that we're going to be considering here is Habakkuk 3:2. It's, O Jehovah, I've heard the report of thee, and I'm afraid, O Jehovah, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. So as you can see, wrath down here was the fall in the garden, and 3,500 years later, right at the midst of the years, and exactly 1 year after that is where the Jubilee cycle starts, and it reached to the 1874 date, marking that last 1,000 years as being the date that mankind will be restored in, and that's the mercy that Habakkuk was praying for. And it's all based, again, upon this midpoint of the years, and we're going to see this concept and these patterns that we're going to show you. So this is going to be the first pattern. It's 1845 years, and it stretches through the entire 7,000 years, where this dark arc here and this dark arc here are. Those are the 1845-year parallels that are in the second volume. And so this is exactly the death of Jacob, death of Christ, and the 1878 date right there. And this pattern is made up of 1845s, and as you'll see, there's actually seven what I consider key biblical dates that are going to mark this pattern. And where this dotted line is the center. If you was to take and print this out and fold it in half and then hold it up to the light, you would actually only see half of the pattern because it's exactly the same on the other half as it is on the both halves are equal. Now the question becomes, where did we get this pattern from? And it wasn't a real painless process. And what I'm going to show you today is actually the ideal way, if we hadn't made any mistakes, but we would work for a while and get down the wrong path, and then we'd have to back up. And it actually took years before we came up with this completely. We started out trying to we looked at the Edgar charts in back of the old Bible student manual, and we started writing down things, and we're kind of looking for the, you know, when will the kingdom come, or when will the church be completed, and we actually never found that date. But what we found was actually just as good, I think. It confirms that that date is coming. We just don't know what the date is. So as we put down what we knew here, it was 7,000 years. We knew the date of the fall, and we knew the date of the restoration. We knew that midpoint date, 627 B.C., and we knew about the two 1845s. And so as we were looking at this, we saw that we knew two dates here exactly, so we went ahead and we added that circle in, and it turned out to be 658.5 years exactly. And then as we looked at the Edgar chronology charts again, we saw that he had an 1845-year period that went from the flood to the midst of the years, which is there. We thought, boy, that's kind of strange. That's only 1 year off of the 1845. So we, if I remember correctly, we put down the 1846 to begin with, but then we started counting years using this decimal system, and then turns out it actually is 1845. So there is another one of the circles. And because we had the date of the flood there and Jacob's death there, and we knew what those was, down here, we subtract it, and turns out that also 658.5. So we was beginning to start to see somewhat of a pattern here. We had three 1845s, and we had two of the 658.5s. And so in the Adam's first day, the 1,000 here, we originally had put 1,996.5. And the reason for the 996.5 is that actually from the end of the 1845 to the time that mankind would be restored is actually the 996.5 because the 1,000 years overlaps that by 3.5. And so this is, we had the 1,000 down here, and we had that up, actually had both circles up here for a while. And we knew the, again, from here to here was fixed numbers, so we subtracted it and turned out it was 655. And as we're looking at that, we thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. It's only 3.5 different. And then we look down here, and there's our 3.5 years right there. If we only use the 3.5 instead of the 1,000 here, this is what we get. So now we've got two 658.5s here and another one there. And this one kind of puzzled us for a while until we thought about the Habakkuk scripture that as it went down, it would come back in the same manner. So we're looking over here, and I thought, well, I wonder if this is the same size circle. It sure looks like it's a pattern, so we put it in just to see what would happen. And then the next little circle here is pretty obvious because this circle is 1,845 years to here. So if you subtract that twice, you get 528. And so that one was there. In the same situation again, this one's 1845, but we had these two numbers to subtract. We found out that one is also 658.5. So, looks kind of simple, but it's actually, took us years actually to get to this point. I'd work on this for a while and put it on the wall, and then I'd look at it some more and finally realize that at this point in time we had this half completely filled in, so we wondered, well, if I go here, we wind up with that, with the 528. And it's pretty obvious that from this center point going that way, it's the same going that way. So down here, we're going to see that this is the same, and that's going to be another 658.5. So there's a complete pattern. So after having worked on that for quite some time, there's a little bit of a story about that because I had talked to Brother David Stoikes and Nancy Stoikes about this since he worked with me at the time, and he's the one that brought me into the truth. And so we got all excited and called him up, and I said, I think I got it. And he said, well, what'd you get? And so over the phone, it's kind of hard to explain, so we drove over there and interesting thing that he said got me thinking. He said, well, you know, Pastor said that Ezekiel's vision, the wheels within wheels in that vision were chronology. And he says the only problem is it's only supposed to be four wheels within wheels. And so you got six here, and that's way too much, so that's not it. So I was still happy I got this. I went back home, and I don't know how many days it was, but I all of a sudden figured out a way that you could actually shade these in and get that Ezekiel's vision graphically represented again, but so that it actually matches what Ezekiel is saying there. So first, before we do that, we're going to show you a few things. The first one is going to be, if you go on the internet and type in Ezekiel's vision, you're going to find somebody that's going to tell you that it was a spaceship. And of course, we know that's not correct, but this is something that they actually used to try to prove that God doesn't exist. This was really space aliens that were coming back in the biblical times. And we, of course, know better than that. And this is another one that somebody drew. If you look in Ezekiel's, the first chapter talks about these cherubim coming out of fire, and so that's why they had. And I think if you look close, there's a lion, a man, and I guess there's an ox. You can see it better on that one. It's kind of hard to see it, but they kind of got the right idea if he was to draw what you think Ezekiel saw, and perhaps he did see something like this. We don't really know. This is one my son Jeff drew quite a few years ago, and we kind of modeled it on a picture that we found in a children's biblical comic book that we had, and he kind of enhanced it, made it look a little better. And actually, it's not that bad. If you were to, again, look at the vision, there's four wheels within wheels and four living creatures, the crystal light and the throne and the rainbow around the throne, so they kind of got all the elements. And the same thing on this one, it's kind of a more modern version of it. So what you're going to see, though, is not going to be, you know, like I said, is something that landed out here in the street or somebody took a picture of it with a camera or a cell phone like we would nowadays. It's going to be more graphically represented. And so this, anyone have trouble seeing that this is like a pair of wings? It's like a bat wing. And so the question comes, where did I get this from? Well, actually, I cut it out of the pattern. So this is your chronology pattern. And I cut it out here and slid it up so you could see it separate. And the same way the down here in the bottom. And if you read down here, every one of them had four wings, and there's actually four living creatures. We'll see that there are actually four of those you can shade into this pattern. So one wing, second wing, third wing, and the fourth wing. And there was a wheel within a wheel, and here's the wheel within a wheel. And there's actually four of the living creatures. If you look here, this one's all the way to the left. This one moves over one space for the number two one, two spaces for the number three, and three spaces for the number four. And there's no way you can get five because you ran out. So that part, again, fits. Now, this one is just something I'm not certain about, but I thought I'd include it because if I was God and I was designing this living creature and it said it had four faces, the question would be, where would you put them? Well, the only suggestion I'd have is this curve as being one, two, three, and four, and the faces would be sitting on those areas. But whether that's really intended or not, I'm not certain on that. But I thought I'd include that. There was eyes in the rims of the wheels. Now, these eyes are kind of tipped over from the way we normally see them, so I got one up on top that I actually rolled over in the normal orientation. But so there's your eyes. And this one's a little bit harder to see. Scripture says, and there appeared in the cherubim the form of a man's hand under their wings. There's two different hands in the Old Testament. One is clenched hands, and the other is open hands. Now, if I'm standing here and I'm holding my hands up like this, you'd have no problem seeing that I have a pair of hands. But if I turn them over like this, and you're perfectly level with the ends of my fingers, looking at the fingers, you would actually be seeing the ends of the fingers. So what we seem to be seeing is these are the thumbs, the number one and the ten, and these are the finger holes. And so it would be like Christ holding up God's plan from beginning to end. This would be my suggestion. And I showed this to our ecclesia one time, and one of the brethren said, well, if this is God and God's sitting behind this, he's actually sitting there and he's holding his hands this way. The ring finger is actually number seven, which is right next to where this cross is, and that cross is the crucifixion date. So his suggestion was, well, didn't the Jewish weddings, they had a betrothal and it would last for a year, and maybe that would be like the entire gospel age. So this would be like Christ, putting the betrothal off for the church, and then down here after the church is completed, the wedding actually takes place, which is the event we're still waiting for yet. And Isaiah 40, verse 12 up there, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span? I think one of the brethren one time, too, mentioned that a hand is a span. So you would have two spans if these are Christ's fingers holding it up. Now, Ezekiel's vision took place historically just past this mist of the years, which is 627 B.C., and there was judgment on the house at that time, and that's where the 2520 years started, not too long after that date. We'll see that on a date on another pattern. But also in Ezekiel's vision, chapters 2 and 3 talks about 390 and 40 years, and we think that actually had an application back in this time. It went back to where the kingdoms was divided, and also the 40 was down up until the siege of Jerusalem that 40 would apply there. And we believe there's a second application at the time of crucifixion, and this 1845 started there, but the 390 and 40 also had an application at the time of the Jewish harvest. And there's a third one, Ezekiel's vision, judgment on the nominal house, which again was the 1845. And there's a 390 and 40 years again on this end of the age, right exactly where that vision would be. And this is a suggestion we have, is that Ezekiel 10:2, and he spoke to the man clothed in linen and said, enter between the whirling wheels and under the cherub and fill your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubim, scatter them over the city, and he entered in my sight. Well, back in Ezekiel's time, the judgment would have been about them not keeping the law properly, and the coals of fire would have been on the altar that would have been in the temple where they were seeing the vision of these cherubim. But at the time of Christ, the altar that was there was the altar in which Christ offered him his life upon it. And that, of course, is the ransom doctrine. And yes, what was a key doctrine that was given to Pastor Russell on this end of the age is the coals of fire, that ransom, and it was cast out over the city. Again, a judgment upon that system. They refused to believe the wonderful plan that the God had revealed to them at the time. Not only did the Jews refuse, but also the nominal house on this end of the age. Now, how much time do we have left?
Not much.
Okay. This is probably a good spot to stop then. We'll just look at one more slide quick so we know what we're coming to for the next time. And this is going to be the 1260, 2520, and it's going to have 10 dates on it. And this will be after lunch. We'll reconsider this one. I'll put this one back up so that it goes to the dark slide. Hopefully after the second one after lunch, we'll have a little time left for questions if anyone has questions they want to ask. Brother George.